All right. So the question is going to be as follows. Today's shiur is going to be at the origins of Purim and how it came about. Nope. But we'll start with a specific question because it's easier to focus on a specific question, even though it's not the greatest question in the world, and then we'll move on. Hey, everybody knows that Purim has a number of possible days on which you could be yotzei the mitzvos. We'll see it in a Mishnah, but that in fact is the case. And the question we want to deal with is why? Why is it, you know, you don't have a makeup date for Pesach. It's the 15th of Nisan. Okay, Pesach Sheni doesn't count. It's the 15th of Nisan. You know, you do it, you do it. You don't, you don't. We don't have a makeup day for Shavuos. We don't have a makeup day for Sukkos. These holidays fall on a date. We also don't have a makeup date for Chanukah. Purim is the only holiday that built into it has makeup dates. And I'm not referring to Shushan Purim, because that's not a makeup date. I'm referring to the real halacha. Let's pull up a sheet. If you look at the Mishnah and Megillah, the first Mishnah and Megillah, the Mishnah says, Megillah nikreis ba'achad asar, bishnei masar, bishlosha asar, ba'arba asar, ba'chamisha asar. And then, like it's a joke, the Mishnah says, lo pachot v'lo yoter. All right, that's plenty of time to get the Megillah read in. I don't know why the Mishnah has to say lo pachot v'lo yoter, but that's the din. And just to finish the Mishnah says, k'rachim ha-mukafim chamal mimot Yoshua bin Nun. Right, if you have a walled city from the days of Yoshua, karin b'chamisha asar, you read on the 15th, farim v'ayarot gidolot, karin ba'arba asar, regular cities read on the 14th, El Ashak Farim Makdimim Liyom Aknisa. Small towns can be Makdim, the reading of Purim, to Yom Aknisa. Yom Aknisa is the day of gathering. It's Monday or Thursday every week. So again, so if Purim fell out on Friday, these people could read on Thursday. If Purim fell out on Wednesday, these people could read on Monday. Same thing Tuesday. Okay. So that's how you get, you know, if you do it in the Gemara, that's how you get 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Those are the possible dates on which Yom HaKnisa, right, the date of gathering could be. Okay, so the question is, again, what in the world are these days doing as possible days of Purim? Doesn't that undermine the holiday? Don't we want to celebrate Purim and read the Megillah on one day and one day only? Okay, that's the question. Put that aside.
Excuse me. Is the Mishnah telling us that we're celebrating Purim, or just that we can read the Megillah on those days and we'll tie in the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah?
You're correct. It's only reading the Megillah. You can't do Matanos Lev Yonim. You can't do Mishmach Manos. You can't have a Sudas Purim. You can only read the Megillah on those days. So the question is on the reading of the Megillah. It's the same question. Okay? Now, I think that this has everything to do with the struggle that took place in the time of Mordechai and Esther over making Purim a holiday. You have to, historically, you have to get a sense for what's going on. There has never, ever been a Rabbanan, a rabbinic holiday. The holidays consist entirely of the Shalosh Regalim and the Yamim Noraim. No such thing as a rabbinic holiday. All of a sudden, Esther shows up and she wants to do this new thing. She wants to make a rabbinic holiday. It's very, very similar, although not exactly the same, to the fight over Yom HaAtzmaut and later on Yom Yerushalayim, right? Who are you to make a holiday? Maybe we'll come back to that. Maybe we won't. Look at source number two. You get a sense for this already in the Gemara and Megillah. Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph says the Gemara, Arba'im u'shmona neviim v'sheva neviot nitna ba'u lohem liYisrael. There were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot, and they prophesied for the Jewish people. V'lo pitru v'lo hotiru alma shekatuv b'Torah. Nevertheless, they didn't add and they didn't subtract from anything written in the Torah. Chutz mi mikra megillah. The exception is Kriyas HaMegillah. Says the Gemara, what in the world allowed them to create a new mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah and by extension a new holiday of Purim? My Darush, what was the drasha? Rav Chiya bar Avin, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. The drasha is as follows. It's a kal v'chomer. Uma me'avdus l'cheirus amrinan shira. when we left Mitzrayim, where our lives were not under threat, we were just slaves. Nevertheless, we said Shira, Mimisa Lechaim, when God saved us from Haman and let us live, Lo Kol Shekein. Okay, so that's the basic source in the Gemara for the mitzvah of Megillah and the holiday of Purim. It's a Kal Vachomer. If we celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim, where our lives were not threatened, okay, we just happened to have been slaves, so certainly when we were saved from Haman, whose lives he did threaten, right? Our lives were at risk for Haman, so of course we should celebrate. It makes complete sense. Says Rashi, Rashi's going to answer the question that the Gemara doesn't ask, but we should have asked. Source number three. Chutz mi mikra megillah v'im tomar. Wait, ner Chanukah. Why isn't that in the equation? Says Rashi, kfar pasku hanivim. Aval bimei Mordechai hayu chagai zecharya umalachi. Here you're getting some really interesting ideas. Rashi says the question was only with respect to Purim, because Purim was the time of the Nevi'im. Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi were the last of the Nevi'im. They existed during the Purim story. So it was more dangerous to make up a new holiday during the Purim story, because presumably, if a Navi does something, we would think, correctly or not correctly, that God told him to do so. Okay, and you're not supposed to think that. That's dangerous. That's called Baal Tosef. You're adding to the Torah. So Rashi says the question was only with respect to Purim. With respect to Chanukah, you know, hundreds of years later, there were no Nevi'im. So you don't have to worry that people would think it's some form of Takanas Nevi'im, because there were no Nevi'im. Okay? Now, the Marsha expands the issue. Look at source number four. Marsha is going to ask another question that we all should have asked. Da'af ha-memches Nevi'im lo hotiru ela mikra Megillah. Okay, the 48 Nevi'im, the only takana they ever made was mikra Megillah. Says the Marsha, that's not true. Wait. V'hadalo tikshi ha-detikun Shlomo e-ravinu n'tels yadayim. Shlomo ha-melech, hundreds of years before any of this, Shlomo HaMelech made up a mitzvah called Erevin. He made up a mitzvah called Tiyos Yadayim. Why isn't this in the Gemara also? Why doesn't the Gemara say, you know, there were other gezeros at the times of the Nevi'im? So says the Marsha, no, the Ein Zeh Mikri Hotir. It's not called leaving over or creating. Hotir Amasha Kasuv Batorah. The Erevin Eino Rak Gedeh Lahotzah B'Shavas Mirshus HaYach Lirshus HaRabim. Says the Marsha, Erevin doesn't count. It's not created by the rabbis or by the Nevi'im whole cloth. It has to do with the fact that there's an Isser Hotzah on Shabbos, and if you make an Eruv, it allows you to carry. And Netilas Yadayim is also not new. Mishum Srach Truma. Netilas Yadayim has to do with the Kedusha of Truma. So it's not a new Drabanon. Ma She'en Kein, Mikra Megillah V'ner Chanukah, She'en Mitzvos Bifnei Atzmon. However, with respect to Mikra Megillah and Ner Chanukah, they're not related to anything that came before them. They're not Harchakos, they're not Gzeros. They're two completely new holidays that had not existed before. That's why the Gemara asked the question. Okay? So again, our question was, the real question was, how did Purim come into being? The Gemara says it's a Kal Vachomer from Pesach. Rashi says, why don't they ask about Chanukah also? So Rashi answers, there were no Nevi'im during the time of Chanukah. I'll hope to show you later, that's not really true. It's not that there were Nevi'im at the time of Chanukah. Chanukah exists because of Purim. They had a fight about Purim, but my assumption is that Chanukah was piggybacked on Purim. If you could make a holiday for Purim, you could make a holiday for Chanukah. Hopefully I'll show you that in the Rambam.
Didn't you give a shir on that? Several years ago, Ellie?
I hope.
Wasn't Chanukah also piggybacked on Sukkot?
No, it's true. It's like philosophically, Chanukah is piggybacked on Sukkot. But halachically, Chanukah is piggybacked on Purim because they're both Drabanan. You can't piggyback much. Sukkot is Doraisa, right? So what do you do with that? But
the length of Chanukah, okay. I remember learning.
It could be. There is something about that. They didn't celebrate Sukkot that year.
They didn't celebrate Sukkot that year.
but that's way too fancy. Let's stay away from that for now.
Doesn't the assumption that Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi were alive during Bimei Purim depend on when you think Purim is?
Oh, I definitely want to stay away from that. We have a Mesorah that Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi were part of Anshei Knesset HaGdola,
right,
and at the time of Mordechai, whenever that was. We're sure that they didn't exist when Hanukkah came about. By all accounts, I assume Hanukkah is later than Purim. There's no question about it.
No question.
Right, okay, so let's leave it at that. Now, let's turn...
Before we turn, may I ask you a question?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, darling. So you say, who are you to make a holiday? And you point out that the Bible says, don't add to or subtract from. And that it's dangerous. And
I'm sorry, it's not dangerous, it's forbidden.
Forbidden. So I heard that it makes sense. And I don't dispute that it makes sense. But since when is making sense paramount to forbidden?
Okay, again, Baal Tosif, which is adding to the Torah, and Baal Tigra, which is subtracting from the Torah, are Torah prohibitions. It's not a question of making sense. It's all going to work out. You know, Purim is a holiday, and I'm going to celebrate it like you are. The question is, how do we get there? So give me a chance. Okay?
Give you a chance to say that there was proper authority to make the holiday?
Yes.
Okay, you still going?
Yeah, I got 45 minutes left.
Okay,
you can
sorry.
At any time, but I got time. Okay, let's go. Source number 5. Here's the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvos. The Rambam says, Kol Eilu HaMitzvot Shenidchadshu Chayavin Anu LeKablam U'LeShamram. All Drabanans we have to observe. Shenemar Lo Tosu Mikol HaDavar SheYiginu L'Chayam Minu Smol. Right, that's the source for agreeing or listening to Rabbanans. Ve'einam Tosefet Al Mitzvot HaTorah. Says the Rambam, they're not Baal Tosif. Drabbanans are not a violation of Baal Tosif. By the way, where would we be if they were? But says the Rambam, Va'al mahis hira Torah lo tosef v'lo tigra. Wait, so then what is the Torah saying? You can't add and you can't subtract. Isn't that what Drabbanan do all the time? He says no. Shelo yihye navi rashai lechadesh davar. A navi can't show up and say, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Tzivahu b'mitzvah zo lahosifa l'mitzvot ha-Torah o lechaser achat me'elu ha-shesh me'od u'shlosh esrei mitzvot. A Navi cannot show up and say, God spoke to me and said, here's a new book, it's called the Megillah, and you should celebrate Purim every year. Says the Rambam, that's an Isser d'oraisa of Baal Tosif. A Navi would have to say, God did not speak to me. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but I want you to do it anyway. There's a difference. Everybody with me? I'll do one of the most famous Rambams, the next one, Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Bet Halacha Tes, and then we'll discuss. Says the Rambam, source number 6. Ho'il v'yesh le'bezdin li'gzor v'le'esor davar hamutar. Right? Bezdin is allowed to prohibit things and permit things. V'yamod isuro l'dorot, and they can do it forever. V'chein yesh lahem lahatir isurei Torah l'fi sha'a. Right, they can be matir certain things temporarily. Mahu zeh shehizhira Torah lo tosif alav v'lo tigra mimenu. What's the prohibition of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra? That's what Chachamim do. They add and they subtract and they fix. What does it mean? Shelo lahosif al divrei Torah v'lo tigra mehem. So the Ram says, what it means is, v'likvoa hadavar la'olam b'davar shehu min ha-Torah, bein b'Torah shebichsav, bein b'Torah shebaalpeh. Says the Rambam, the prohibition is for the rabbis to say that something that's drabanan is d'oraisa. Now again, for us it doesn't really matter. We obey both d'oraisas and drabanos. But the Rambam says there's a big difference between a d'oraisa and a drabanan. He doesn't explain it. Maybe we'll get some idea. But here's the most famous example. Back inside. Ketzad, fourth line where the cursor is. Hare kasuv batora lo tivashel gidi bachalevimo. right? That's the pasuk we all know that prohibits meat and milk. Mi piashmualamdu. In addition, we learned shezeh hakatuv asar levashel v'leechol basar b'chalav. Okay, this is still an iser daraisa to cook meat and milk, even if you don't eat it. Bein b'sar behema, bein b'sar chaya. Okay, whether it's a domesticated animal or it's a non-domesticated animal. Here we go. Everybody pay attention. Aval b'sar ha'of mutar b'chalav min ha'torah. Says the Rambam, chicken is not also with milk min ha'torah. A bird is not an animal min ha'torah. So therefore, im yavo bezdin v'yatir basar chaya b'chalav, areze goreya. If a bezdin says an undomesticated animal is mutter to eat it with milk, they're over the isra of Baal Tigra. They subtracted an isra from the Torah. However, bim ye'esor b'sar ha'of, but if they say chicken and milk is asur, v'yomar shehu b'chlal ha'gidi v'hu asur min ha'torah, harei zeh mosif. Says the Rambam, if you say chicken and milk is an isra d'oraisa, you're over the Isser d'oraisa of Baal Tosif. The Rambam knows chicken and milk is asur, right? We don't eat chicken and milk. But we don't eat chicken and milk as a gzeira drabanan to the Isser d'oraisa of not eating meat and milk. So if you change that, you're over an Isser. Now, it's shocking because what's the difference, right? Chicken and milk is asur. Who cares if it's drabanan or d'oraisa? Does it really matter? Says the Rambam, it really does. I think it's not a great example, but I think, you know, sometimes you meet people who say, it's an Isser d'oraisa to have a smartphone. There are such people in the world. And I often think to myself, he's right, but the Isser d'oraisa is not having a smartphone. The Isser d'oraisa is making up an Isser d'oraisa. You want to make a gzeira, you want to say it's not good to have unfiltered internet. You want to say, that's all great, you could do it. But you can't pretend that it's a d'oraisa. If you do, you're in violation of the Isra of Baal Tosif while you're adding on to the Torah, right? The Rambam had a real sense for the difference between the d'oraisa and the Rabbanan. You know, I can't. I wish I could explain it to you. It's not like I understand and I can't. I don't really understand. You know, you have to recognize that despite the fact that the Rambam never ate chicken and milk, for him it mattered that chicken and milk was a d'rabbanan. And when he didn't eat meat and milk, it mattered that it was a d'oraisa. You know, what's the difference? Is it philosophical? It's hard to explain. But the Rambam thought it was really, really important for people to know what's a d'oraisa and what's a d'rabbanan.
Don't we have dozens of asmachtos that we ascribe to dinim d'rabbanan to a d'oraisa?
Right,
but it's like saying you're tying it to a pasuk, you're tying it to a iser.
Okay, and it's, you know, it's a mnemonic, it's all these different things. The Rambam knew he had tons of asmachtos, but he thought you could not pretend. Now, it's a good question, it really is a good question. How do you know that someone's going to asmachta? I find that to be the most frustrating part of learning Gemara, which is you learn a Gemara, they quote a pasuk, and all the Rishonim understand that despite the fact that they quoted the pasuk, you're talking about a drabana. Right? There are major, major machlokasim about whether something's an asmachta or something is real. But the bottom line is, if it's an asmachta, then it's a drabanan. And if it's not an asmachta, it's a d'oraisa. You know, again, why that is, we could talk about forever. But that's what it comes down to. So you can't, you know, I often think you want to scare somebody. So you say, oh, you're eating chicken milk, you're over and it's a d'oraisa. What's the big deal? It's asur anyway. And again, but that's asur, says the Rambam. And I think it's a price we pay, just as an aside, it's a price we pay for the religion we've become. In the Shulchan Aruch, it never once tells you what's a d'oraisa and what's a drabanan. It tells you can't eat meat with milk and you can't eat chicken with milk, because the Shulchan Aruch tells us what we can and can't do. And there's no difference in our lives between a d'oraisa and a drabanan. I never once heard somebody say, and you know, maybe they did, well, I wait 6 hours for meat and milk, but I only wait 3 hours for chicken and milk. Right? That's not acceptable, because we understand that chicken and milk, observance-wise, has the same level or the same level as meat and milk. It's a drabanan and not a d'oraisa. Okay. So now let's go back to our story. Let's get back to Purim and see how this all makes sense. So you look at Perek Tes of the Megillah. Perek Tes of the Megillah is the Perek that wasn't there last year, and this year is there. You know, Haman dies, his sons die, you're ready to go eat, and then this Perek Tes. And you say, so was this here last year? I can't remember. It's such a long Perek also, it doesn't make any sense. Perek Tes has all the halachos. All the drushes come from Perek Tes, despite the fact that the story is over. Okay, let's read. Source number 7. Al kein ha-yehudim ha-prozim, ha-yoshvim ba'arei ha-prozot, people like us, osim et yom arba'a asar l'chodesh adar simcha u'mishteh v'yom tov. We make it a day of joy and a yom tov. U'mishloch manot ish l'reihu. And we send shalach manos. Va'yichtov Mordechai es hadvarim ha'eleh. Va'yishlach sifarim el kol ha-yehudim asher b'chol medinot ha-melech ha-hashverosh ha-krovim ha-rechokim. L'kayem aleihem, to have them accept upon themselves, liyot osim et yom arba'a asar l'chol shador, v'es yom chamisha asar bo b'chol shana v'shana. How? Kayamim asher nachu bohem ha-yehudim e'oivehem, like the day that we rested, v'achodesh asher nepach lohem miyagon l'simcho me'eva liyom tov, la'asot otam yimei mishtev v'simcha u'mishlach manot ish l'reihu u'matanot lohev yonim. Something really, really interesting. Says the Rav, originally, what does it say in Pasuk Yutes? Simcha u'mishteh v'yom tov. Mordechai and Esther wanted Purim to be a day that was asur b'malacha. Right? Like all other holidays. If they want it to be a holiday, then there should be an isur malacha. There should be a kedushas hayom. But when they got around to doing it, there's no yom tov. You go to the last Pasuk, the Yom Tov thing disappeared. Why did it disappear? Presumably it disappeared because Chazal made it disappear. Because Mordechai and Esther petitioned to make this a Yom Tov, and Chazal said no. We'll do something less than a Yom Tov. We'll do something less than Isser Malach. Again, because it looks like Baal Tosef if you do that. So instead, for the first time in our history, we got a special day, but the day doesn't have any Isser Malacha, right? That's a significant step in the development of the holiday, and that's really, really important. The difference between Mordechai and Esther telling people it should be a Yom Tov, and the result being that it's not a Yom Tov. Okay, but Mordechai and Esther asked for two things. One, they asked for it to be a Yom Tov, which, again, technically they were denied. Practically, the day was established as a special day, but they also asked for Esther to be put in the canon. Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh had not been finalized. There were only 23 until Megillas Esther came about. Now, here you come into a real halachic problem. What's the paradox? The paradox is once Megillas Esther becomes part of the canon, once it becomes an accepted part of the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, it has the Kedusha of a Doraisa. It has the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. If I, God forbid, destroyed a Megillah, I would be over the Isser Torah of Lo Sa'asun Kein LaShem Elokeichem. Don't do that to God. The same Isser I'd be over if I did it to Sefer Shmos. Okay, so the question becomes, wait, if you put Megillas Esther into the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh, don't you run the risk that people will assume it's a Doraisa? Obviously, the source for the Purim holiday is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is in Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. As a Cheftza, it has a din of Doraisa. It's just like a Sefer Torah. So what's going on? Right? That's the paradox, and that's what Chazal were up against. On the one hand, we want Megillas Esther to be part of the Chaf Dalet Kisvei Tanakh. On the other hand, we recognize that Purim will be a holiday that's a Drabanan, not a Doraisa. How could that be? Everybody with me? Okay, so says the Rav, there are other examples of this. And I'll show you an amazing thing. Let's look at source number 8. Okay, what are the fast days that we have? Here's the pasuk in Zechariah. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot. Som ha-rivi'i, Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz, that's Shivasu B'Tammuz, Vitzoma Chamishi, that's Tisha B'Av, Vitzoma Shivii, that's Tzom Gedalia, Vitzoma Asiri, that's Asar B'Teves, Ke Yibay Yiyel Bet Yudala Sason Simchal Ma'adim Tovim V'Med V'Shalma Ahavu. Okay, all great things. That's the source for the four fast days. What are the four fast days? D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. Come on, anybody?
The Rabbanan.
Of course the Rabbanan. And yet, they exist in Tanakh.
Right. Right? Zachariah mentions them, right? Isn't it?
I just read the Pasuk. Sorry. Source number 8, right? It's Zachariah. It's there. Let's do another example. Source number 9. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. You would know this by heart if you make not the long Kiddush, but the super long Kiddush on Shabbos day. Right, im tashiv mi Shabbat raglecha sot chafat zechel biyom kachi v'karata la Shabbat oneg likdosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadito me'asot drachecha mimtzo cheftzecha v'daber davar. Right, os tisanag Hashem, etc., etc. Shabbos has to be a different day. This is the source for two mitzvos that we have: kavod Shabbos and oneg Shabbos. It won't be a surprise for you to find out that Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos are both Derabanan, right? Zachar v'Shamar are D'Oraisa. Kavod and Oneg are Derabanan. Again, you have Sukkim that are in Tanakh, but are the source for a mitzvah Derabanan. Now, let's see how the Rambam quotes these sources and how he brings the halacha. So first is the very first halacha in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah in the Yad HaChazak in source number 10, where the Rambam says, Kriyat HaMegillah Bizmana Mitzvat Asei Midivrei Sofrim. Right? The reading of the Megillah in its proper time is what? What's the Mitzvat Asei Midivrei Sofrim?
Is that a higher level than the Rabbanan?
Wait, what's? No, Divrei Sofrim is a Drabbanan. That's exactly what it means. Okay.
Although, isn't it not always in the Rambam?
There's one case relating to marriage in Hilchos Kiddushin, but essentially it is. No one doubts that it's here. The problem is the second half of the Rambam. Great. It's a drabanan. V'hadvarim yiduim shehi takanat nevi'im. This is exactly our issue. The Rambam says, reading the Megillah is a drabanan. However, you should know that it's also a takanat nevi'im. That's the dangerous part, right? What does it mean? It's either drabanan or a takanat nevi'im. What's the Rambam saying? Well, it sounds like the Rambam's trying to tell us something that we don't know.
Well, when it's a takanat nevi'im, it's an elevated halacha, meaning that typically a drabanan, you know, another base thing greater than the previous one can change or modify the Rabbanim. But Takanat Nevi'im can't be changed.
Okay, I think you're right, but give me a chance. Let's look at the other two examples, because the Rambam is going to say something incredibly similar. Source number 11. Arba'a Perek Laman in Hilchos Shabbos. Arba'a Divarim Ne'emru B'Shabbos. Shnayim min HaTorah U'Shnayim Midivrei Sofrim. Okay, there are four concepts said with respect to Shabbos. Two of them are D'Oraisa. Again, Ushnai Midivrei Sofrim, two are D'Rabbanan. However, he then adds, Vehein Mefurashin Al Yidei HaNevi'im. But they're explicated, an SAT word, by the Nevi'im. So the same exact thing we saw on top in Megillah, right? It's Midivrei Sofrim. V'advarim Yiduim Shi Takana Nevi'im. We have it here also. V'hein v'furashim al-yidei ha-nevi'im. What are they? Shebatorah, Zachar, v'shamar. Right? Min ha-Torah, there's two major mitzvos. Zachar, the mitzvot asei of Kiddush, etc. Shamar, the Isser Malacha. V'shenit parshu al-yidei ha-nevi'im. But the drabanans that were explained by the nevi'im, they are kavod v'oneg. Shenemar, ar pasuk in Yeshayahu, v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, v'likdosh Hashem mechubad. Right? Those two ideas, kavod and oneg, as an aside, right? You know what the difference between kavod and oneg is? This is a great Vilna Gaon. he says kavod is preparing for Shabbos, oneg is on Shabbos. Right? Kavod is setting the table, oneg is having a meal. It just, it really helps sort things out halachically to know the difference between kavod and oneg. And I think most people agree with that. Again, kavod the whole week long, preparing for Shabbos, oneg, you know, getting the pleasure on Shabbos. Okay? So now, we have Megillah, we have four halachos with respect to Shabbos, and now the last one, source number 12. V'arba'at yimei hatzomot ha'elu, these four fast days that we saw that are all drabbanon, harehein mefurashin b'kabbalah, they were explained in Kabbalah, in Nevi'im, however you want to learn that line, hein mefurashin b'kabbalah, it's a weird line. What's the pasuk? Tzoma revi'i v'tzoma chamishi v'tzoma shivi'i v'tzoma asiri. Okay, now we have three examples. What's going on? So presumably, when Chazal told Esther that you can't put Megillah in the canon because otherwise people will mistake it for a Doraisa, the Rav thought at least, she responded with these examples. Yes, Purim is in Kisvei HaKodesh, but it doesn't matter. You can still learn halachos from it. And so maybe Henry's right. You know, when the Rambam says, Kriyat HaMegillah Bizmanah Mitzvat HaSeh Midivrei Sofrim, V'hadvarim Yiduim Shei Takanat Nevi'im, we now have a new level of observance. We always thought that what? There's Doraisas, there's Drabanans. Those are the two things. Maybe there's Doraisas, there's Divrei Kabbalah / Divrei Nevi'im, and then there are Drabanans. And the Rambam, who is so sensitive to the Isra of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, wants you to know. Here are three examples. I think they're the only three examples, but I can't tell you for sure, where the source for the holiday appears in Nevi'im. That's Kavod Va'oneg on Shabbos. That's the four fast days surrounding the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. And that's Kriyas HaMegillah. And each of them are not regular drabbanans. And maybe that's why the Gemara was so nervous. Right? I want to make a holiday. People might assume it's a Doraisa. Okay? That's what I think. Now go to 13 for a second. We'll see some interesting things. Source number 13 is how the Shulchan Aruch brings it. Yesh mi she'omer she'onein mutar b'basar v'yayin. Some people say that an onein can eat basar v'yayin, and onein, of course, is a person before the burial of one of the Zion Krovin. Why? It's talking about Purim, by the way, right? We're in Hilchos Purim. It's sima tof reish sadivav. Why? Dilo asi asei diyachid da'avelos, because the individual mitzvah of avelos, which is a mitzvah on the individual, on yachid, dilo asi asei diyachid da'avelos, v'dachi asei dirabim do'raisa lismach b'purim. Now that's a problem. What did the Shulchan Aruch just say? It sounds like he said that Purim is a Doraisa. Can't be. And he knows it can't be. He says, Didivre Kabbalah Ninhu Shehem Kedivre Torah. Because Purim isn't a regular Drabanan. Purim is Divre Kabbalah. And Divre Kabbalah, we won't translate the line, you know, can be compared to, take on elements of. It's hard to know, but they're closer to Doraisas than our regular Drabanas. Okay? Now, having said that, let's go back to the Megillah and see if we could find it. And here we'll see an amazing thing. Source number 14. Again, back in Perek Tet, the forgotten Perek in Megillah. V'atichtov Esther Malkabat Avichai L'Mordechai Yaidu Et Kol Tokef L'Kayemet Igeret HaPurim Azot HaSheni. Okay, they're going to uphold the Igeret. By the way, what's an Igeret? An Igeret is a letter. It's a lesser level than a sefer, right? Because they're still in the middle of a fight about what it should be. Then, vayishlach sefarim. It turns from an igeret to sefarim, el kol ha'yudim, el shev v'asrim v'yom, yidim ma'chus ha'chashros, divrei shalom v'amet. What do we want? L'kayem et yimei ha'purim ha'ele bizmanehem, to establish Purim at its appropriate times, ka'asher kiyam aleihem Mordechai ha'yudi v'ester ha'malka, v'cha'asher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram, divrei hatsomot v'za'akatam. Somebody tell me, what in the world does this have to do with divrei hatsomot v'za'akatam? What does it mean that Purim is just like divrei hatsomot v'za'akatam? Okay, so if nobody's going to tell me, I'll tell you what the Rav says.
To equate it how they were established.
That's what the Rav says, exactly. He says it much more nicer than you, but still. He says Esther was making an argument. The argument was, you tell me I can't be in Chavdala Kisvei Tanakh, because otherwise I'll be a Doraisa. Look at the Divrei Tzomot V'Zakatam. They're in a Pasuk in Zechariah. And nobody thinks they're Doraisa. If they could do it, I could do it. And that argument, says the Rav, was accepted. Uma'amar Esther Kiyam Divrei Purim Ha'ilah. On top of that, V'nichtav Ba'Sefer. It's not an igeret. It's not something transient. It's not something you read and you throw out. It's V'nichtav Ba'Sefer. We're going to establish Purim in the Chavdal Kisvei Tanakh, the way you wanted it to be. Because now we have a source for something that's in the Chavdal Kisvei Tanakh, but it's not a Doraisa. Everybody with me? It's hard to tell. I'll just assume.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
great.
Yes.
Now, says the Rav something else. What does it mean that it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh? So most people say, okay, you could learn halachas from it, which is true. But the Rav said, once it's part of Kisvei HaKodesh, I can learn moral conclusions from it. It's not a historical document. It's not nigeret, right? It's like Sefer Bereishis. It's like learning a lesson from Avraham Avinu. What do we learn from Sefer Bereishis? What do we learn from the Megillah? Says the Rav, you learn from the Megillah the following. Let's look. Source number 15, again, it's the beginning of the Megillah this time. Vayomer Mordechai l'ashiv al Esther, right? The decree comes out and Esther's ignoring it. And Mordechai says, Al tidami v'nafsheich lihimaleit beit hamelech mikol ha'yudim. Don't think you could hide. Ki im ha'charesh tacharishi ba'eit hazot. If you're quiet at this time, don't worry. Revach v'hatzala yamod la'yudim mimakom acher. We'll be saved somehow. However, va'at u'beit avich tovedu. But you'll be lost. U'mi yodea im le'eit kazot higad la'malchut. And who knows? Maybe this is why you became the queen. Of course, we know. It's exactly why she became the queen. Rav Lichtenstein loved these psukim. But it doesn't. But the point is as follows. Mordechai said, from the Megillah you learn that even if you're safe, you can risk your life to save others. That's a significant conclusion to learn from the Megillah. And here's a great story that the Rav told. It's really a great story. There's somebody named Ravman ben Ravman. Okay, don't worry who that. The name doesn't have to matter to you. He lived in the early 1700s in Vilna. At that time, some apostate broke into a church, stole a church icon, and planted in the shul. It was Sukkot time. And then he went to the priests, and he said, tomorrow the Jews are going to take out the stolen icon and beat it with these, you know, with these branches that they have hidden in the shul. Of course, they came to the shul, and that's what they found. They found the icon. And they found all the stuff that was ready for Hoshana Rabbah, in which we beat Hoshanos. So, you know, this was a time we don't mess around with Goyim. In the early 1700s, they arrested the 30 Parnassim, the 30 people who were in charge of the Jewish community. And they were going to kill them. This person, Ravman ben Ravman, went to the Rav HaRashi of Vilna, whose name at the time was Shmuel Achron, because he was the last of the Rav HaRashis of Vilna. And he told him he was going to turn himself in and admit, even though he didn't do it, admit to the crime. In return, they just want to kill a Jew. They'll let the 30 Parnassim go. So if Shmuel Achron was not at all clear on what to do and what the halacha was. And so he said, I don't know. I have to go ask the Vilna Gaon. But while he was at the Vilna Gaon asking him, Ravman ben Ravman turned himself in to the authorities. And what happened is exactly what you think would happen. They killed him. And Ravman ben Ravman left a note for Shmuel Achron. And he said, if there's anything I learned from Megillat Esther, It's the lesson that if you can make a difference, you have to put your life at risk, even though you may be killed. And so he saved the 30 Parnasim by learning this halacha from Megillat Esther. And it's a significant moral lesson that we learn from Megillat Esther. Okay. Now let's finish the Hanukkah thing and then we'll tie it all together.
By the way, this relates to, I think you once get, I'll wait till after this year.
That's okay.
No, about when soldiers sacrifice their life and when someone sacrifices their life for someone else and when you can put your life before someone else's. And is there a number or quantity to do it before you
can? Okay, so these are all serious questions. But here, the guy just went ahead and did it. And he said that he learned it from the Megillah. Okay, let's come back to this.
What did the Vilna Gaon answer?
Yeah, no one knows. That's a great, great question. There is no record of what the Vilna Gaon answered. Of course, we would love to know, but we don't. Okay, look at source number 16. The way Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah works in the realm is it's four prakim. The first two prakim are Hilchos Megillah, the last two are Hilchos Chanukah. And you'd say to yourself, well, what does it mean the Rambam put them together? Well, two prakim isn't enough for its own book. And there are two drabbanan holidays. Okay, so they put Purim and Chanukah together, which for sure is correct. But there's more going on. If you look at 16, so this is, again, the third parak. So it's already dealing with Hilchos Chanukah. He says, right, these 8 days are going to be a special holiday, and you light menorahs, and everything is great. You celebrate the miracle. Third line where the cursor is, v'yamim elu, hein nikraim chanukah, v'hein asurim behesped v'ta'anit, kimei hapurim. So that's a little odd formulation in the Rambam. They're also behesped v'ta'anis. What does that have to do with Purim? Rambam says, no, they're also behesped v'ta'anis, like Purim is. V'hadlakat haneirot bahen mitzvah midivrei sofrim, k'kriyat ha-megillah. It's odd. The Rambam is using, you can't miss it, right? The Rambam is using Purim as the source for Hanukkah, right? It's also behesped v'ta'anis, like Purim. There's a mitzvah to light a menorah, just like there's a mitzvah to read Megillah. And who's chayav to read the Megillah? Halacha Dalid. Kol shechayav b'kriyat ha-Megillah, chayav b'hadlakat ner Chanukah. The Rambam doesn't say it in the normal way. Men, women, children. He doesn't say any of the regular categories. You want to know who's chayav to light Ner Chanukah? Look it up in Hilchos Megillah. Whoever's chayav to hear the Megillah is chayav to light Neros Chanukah. It's an odd way to say it. Right? The Rav pointed out, it's clear that for the Rambam, the matir for Chanukah is Purim. Right, the reason why there's a huge fight over Purim, but no fight over Chanukah, is simply this. Because Chanukah skated in on the coattails of Purim. And you couldn't read it any clearer. Kol shechayav b'kriyas ha-Megillah, chayav b'hadlakas ner Chanukah. That's not how the Rambam says any other halacha. You know, whoever's chayav to sit in a sukkah is chayav to eat matzah, or the reverse. We don't have halachas like this. But here the Rambam is telling us between the lines, it was the establishment of the first Drabbanan holiday of Purim that allowed for the next Rabbanan holiday to exist. Now, let's come back to where we started, which was, why are there so many days? And how do you have multiple days on which you can read the Megillah? If it's a holiday, it's a holiday. If it's not, it's not. And it's not just theoretical. Most people don't know this. Look at source number 17. The last source we'll do together. It's Orach Chaim, Hilchos Megillah of Purim, Tafresh Peches, says the Mechaber. Hamefaresh bayam, vayotze b'shayara. You're going out on a big business trip. Ve'eino motze megillah laholichimo. And either you don't have your own megillah, or you don't know how to read. This is halacha lemaisa. He says, again, we don't have most of it. Even you're on a flight, you know, probably you can still find time to read megillah. But he says, yikra'ena b'yud gimel, o b'yud bet, o ba'achad asar, below bracha. Okay, it's true, you do without a bracha, but you can still, bizman hazeh, read it on the 12th or the 11th or the 13th. Bim ef shalam tin ad yamim halalu. On top of that, if you can't make it, you have to go on a boat on the 9th. Yesh omrim shekore afilu mitchilat hachodesh. There are some shitas that say you could read Megillah already today. Haggah, says the Rambam, if you don't believe me, v'hachi nahug, that's the minhag. If you're not going to have access to a Megillah, read before. Mihu, he says, the fact is, im nizdamein l'achakach Megillah, if on the boat you find somebody who has a Megillah, if on the plane there's some guy who has a Megillah, chozer v'koreh oto b'yom yudalit, afilu krat tchila b'yom yudgimel. You have to read it again on Yudal because that's the real day, even if you read it on the 13th. Mikal makom, koreh oto shelo bizmana. But nevertheless, if you can't, you read it shelo bizmana. Why is that? Why is it that we have all these special days on which you can read Megillah when that's not supposed to be how holidays work? I think the answer is as follows. As part of the struggle over introducing a new holiday, they made a compromise, right? What's a real holiday? A real holiday is the 15th of Nisan, the 15th of Tishrei, the 6th of Sivan, the 1st of those are real holidays. I think that they introduced makeup days because it makes Purim look less like a holiday. And we don't want to be over Baal Tosef. And we don't want to have a situation where people are saying, well, if you could do that, you could, right? So instead they said, you can have multiple days for the holiday. I think that's the answer. But let me ask you.
So make makeup days for Hanukkah.
Okay, it could be that the 8 day, you know, so you miss the day of Hanukkah, so you do it the next day. There are 8 days. It's a lot of days. Now, Rav Meidan added the following point, which some people will like and some people, Jackie, won't like. Rav Meidan said...
Same thing occurs with Yom HaTzmut.
Thank you. Rav Meidan said, I think they did that with Yom HaTzmut, right? Yom HaTzmut is on Hey Iyar. However, it rarely falls on Hey Iyar. Why? Well, it can't be a Shabbos. It can't be a Sunday. It can't be a Monday, because that would make Yom HaZikaron be Motzi Shabbos, right? It can't be a Friday going into Shabbos. It can't be a third. There are 4 days on which it can't fall out, right? So he said, he thinks in a way, they didn't want to establish a full-fledged holiday, but they want to celebrate. And so they used Purim as the model. And the model is multiple days, which on some level, even though no one talks about it, makes it less important, even though, you know, it is what it is. So again, let's just recap. We started with the question of why it has so many days. Then we talked about the Gemara, that the source for it is a Kal Vachomer, and all the concerns the Rambam has to identify differences between Doraisas and Drabbanans, right? We came out with this idea that Esther won the battle, which was she got her sefer into Chavtal Kisvei Tanakh, while proving from the Dalit Somos, at least, while proving that you could be in Kaftal Kisvei Tanakh and still be Drabanan. But in the end, it's not really Drabanan, right? It's Divrei Kabbalah. It's some level between Doraisas and Drabanans that maybe at some later date we could talk about. I'm not really sure what the difference is, but we saw the Mechaber refer to it as a Doraisa, even though he knows it's not a Doraisa. He said, Divrei Kabbalah, Kedivrei Torahein. And then we saw the Rav say, therefore you can learn not just halachos, you can learn moral conclusions from the Megillah, one of them being that even if you're safe, you can put your life at risk to save others. And then we saw that Purim is the model for Hanukkah. And all the Rambam's halachas about Hanukkah, he relates back to Purim because that gave us permission to make a holiday. That's it. Yashikach.
Ellie, first of all,